Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paskajari Sadarine Vandeham Sri Guru Sijata Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sirupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Tang Sadivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakhanvitamsa Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanesvari Vishabhanu Suti Devi Panamami Hare Priye Hey Krishna Karuna Sinduri Navandu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kantarata Kantanumostude Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading this evening verse number 30 of this wonderful prayer collection of Srila Rupa Goswami. Parimala Sharanivam Gorani Langarajan Mrigamara Goshrinanu Grahini Nagaresho Swamahima Paramanu Pravita Shesha Ganda Kingiha Mama Bavitri Grana Bringotsa Vayas Vaya. So Rupa Goswami wants to perceive Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani with all his senses. This is a very interesting consideration. In this prayer, he wants to actually smell the bodily fragrance of Shri Radha Govinda. Now, if you remember, when Gop Kumar came to one part of this universe where the saint Pipalaya was, Pipalaya instructed him in the art of meditation. Do you remember? He said, you can never see anything externally with the senses. Only the mind is which perceives something, not the senses. To give an example, if you don't concentrate on the kirtan, which is now sung very beautifully, you will actually, although you hear, you won't hear. I had this experience when I was working on something, on some texts, and the temple up there, the Gaudiya Math temple, who has purchased new loudspeakers, I heard, sang very loudly. And I was so absorbed with my mind in the subject matter that even I did not hear. The Indians don't suffer from the sound, and I have heard from our commentator, because their mind is somewhere else. They don't they don't perceive the sound as obvious. So Pipalayana's point was, when your mind is absorbed, you can anyways never see things unless your mind is absorbed. So why don't you just concentrate your mind on Krishna, close your eyes and see him through your mind in meditation? That was his instruction. Now this instruction is good for Shantabhaktas, those who have a neutral, not a service-oriented relationship, but doesn't sit well with the Vaishnavas who have other relationships. Gop Kumar was not entirely satisfied. And then the Vishnu Duta explained to him that indeed it is possible with purified senses to seek Krishna with the eyes, and to hear him with the ears, and to smell him with the nose. This is different than the meditational orientation. And we hear that Krishna can even reveal himself to a devotee, therefore, who may have purified senses, but not spiritual senses, not yet 100% spiritual senses. For instance, it is said that normal people can't smell the fragrance of Tulasi, the beautiful fragrance. However, in the Bhagavatam, it is described that the most fragrant flowers like Nagari, Keshari, Malati, Champak, the flowers bow down to Tulasi and accept her as the empress of all plants. Now, you might say, well, this is because she is offered to Krishna, but it's not because of her smell. Nagari, Keshari, and Malati flowers smell just nicer. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in the early morning, especially saintly people can smell the intoxicating fragrance of Tulsi. Tomorrow I will go to this Tulsi. Maybe there is a special fragrance which we have not yet perceived. So the idea here is that Krishna or his devotees can make themselves known to the senses of the devotees. This was my Tulsi example. Or there's another possibility that purified senses, totally purified senses, can actually smell Radha and Krishna. O king of lovers, Sri Krishna, O jewel of consorts, Sri Radhika, your fragrance is so glorious that just a whiff means just a small, almost small wind, humbles all other wonderful aromas. When will the honeybee of my nose attain ecstasy inhaling the luxuriant scent coming from the musk and kumkuma smeared on your dark and fair bodies? Your fragrance, says Valadi Vidyabhushana, is a festival for the honeybee of my nose. One might ask, what is this fragrance like? How do Radha and Krishna smell? The answer is, the natural scent of their fair and dark bodies took pity on the aromas of musk and kumkum and allowed them to mingle with it, therefore producing one wondrous consumed aroma. So musk and kumkum. One might inquire further, how does this flow of this fragrance is like, you know, when it, the fragrance streams. The answer is, the stream of that fragrance searches forth, it comes forth. Just one drop of its fragrance is covering the full spectrum of all other smells. In other words, apparently in the fragrance or the bodily aroma of Radha and Krishna, you will find all kinds of fragrances. There was one best-selling book in Germany, was called Das Parfüm. It was later filmed, I heard. You know about this movie? No? You know. It is a very bad... I won't dare to tell you. No, I know about the book, but it was just so evil, the book, that I read a summary of it to just know... It became world literature, this book, to just know what the people think about. And it was about someone who put a perfume together which was so overwhelming that anyone who smelled it became totally crazy with romantic feelings. This much I will tell you in Radha Kund. So the fragrance of the divine couple is much, 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 much more powerful, because when it is smelled even a little bit, the victim becomes totally mindless. The example is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who went to the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, a garden in Puri, and who saw Krishna under one Ashok tree. Then Krishna quickly disappeared after giving him a bewitching smile. But Krishna's fragrance lingered on. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a beautiful painting, one ancient and one modern, being captured by this fragrance, almost like an intoxicated bee which is captured by the fragrance of honey breeze. So the devotee in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find some more information how the smell is, but I think these are just ideas, because ultimately the full spectrum of all other smells is superseded. It's so much better. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it says Krishna has 8 lotuses in his body and they smell very nice. It's a very so Krishna's bodily scent is the smell of lotus, and then aguru, this is aloe, then musk and sandalwood, and sometimes it is said it's also vermilion. What is vermilion? Does anyone know? It's a powder, I think, which we see in Braj. They have this. Is it vermilion or vermilion? Anyone knows in German what is vermilion? Would you like to try your computer?
It's completely empty.
Empty, yes, yes. So, okay. So Radha and Krishna have a this wonderful fragrance. Lord Krishna admits, my bodily fragrance enchants the whole world, but even my mind is stolen by Radha's fragrance. You can see that this is a very, let me say, sensual experience of God. You smell Him. How do you come to this stage? See, you must somehow learn to practice your bhajan with affection. Then you do your chanting and your reading and your parikrama, or whatever your particular bhajan may be, without affection, then it is, it's like a body without a soul. It's only the form of bhajan. It doesn't have the essence of bhajan. The essence is a loving search for Krishna. What we hear here from Rupa Goswami is he wants to love Krishna so much that he is thinking in his mind about the fragrance of the divine cup. He wants to become overwhelmed with this. This is a loving search. You know, he wants to come so close as to smell the Lord. This is only possible because Rupa Goswami is doing his bhajan with affection. When you do your bhajan with chanting and your sadhana without affection, you just do not get it. It's like going through Vrindavan without affection for Radha and Krishna. You just see it as a dusty, overcrowded place which gets on your nerves. You know, it's with open canalization and so on. But the moment you walk on the landscape of affection, the land map of affection, you see, here's Govardhan. Like I saw today a person who just looked at Govardhan and just cried tears. He felt so much affectionate towards. But then I saw a Brijvasi. Imagine what I saw today on Dandavat Parikrama. I was with my head on the ground, and I said, let me look to the right side. And I looked to the right side, and I saw next to me a small little monkey drinking from a bowl of milk. The Brijvasi had fed the monkey a glass of milk, and then I said, Radhe, Radhe. And he said, Dhamvasi. He is a resident of the Holy Dham. He made it clear, you know, but if you don't have affection for the Dham and the residents, you see monkeys as just the greatest disturbance in your life. Like, you know, I'm sometimes, because I get exhausted and then my mind gets low on energy, I chanted them, and then the monkeys came and boom, 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 and they did a whole thing here. They exercised for World War III, you know, and they really. And then I thought, why can't they just get cars, you know, with cages, and just catch these monkeys, put them into the vans, and drive them to Berlin, you know, or just somewhere. Why here? So my mind thought like this. The monkeys are disturbing. Let's get rid of them. And then I caught myself. From where does the thought come? They are Dhamvasis. But the moment you practice without affection, such thoughts, mundane thoughts, enter your consciousness. And you just don't see the Dham. You see only the external covering of the Dham. So when you practice your bhajan with affection, it becomes natural. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, sahaja. It becomes natural and easy. It flows from your heart. And at that time, the spiritual energy descends on you, and you see things in a spiritual way. Your senses become spiritualized. But if you don't practice your bhajan with affection, you are not even there in Vrindavan. You're not even there. You're somewhere else. And what will happen is your attachment to sense gratification will persist instead. If you don't have affection in your bhajan, you will not be attached to Krishna, Radharan Krishna, and you will instead remain attached to sense gratification. And as long as the witch of sense gratification and the desire for liberation persists in the mind, how can bhakti or love of Krishna enter the mind? How is it possible? It will not work. How do you practice with attachment and affection? My dear devotees, this is a difficult question. I mean, the question is an easy question, but it's very difficult to give a good answer to this. I mean, you could say all the things which you have heard in this lecture and other lectures, but I really want to give you another answer which came to me on this morning on Govardhan Parikrama. I noticed, because this is such a hard practice, you know, normally people do 2 hours Govardhan Dandavat Parikrama, and then they stop because it's just so intense. And we, ISKCON Wallers, of course, do 4 hours, and sometimes for 30 hours, 4.5 hours, because we do all things differently. And you know, you come to a state where you really, you think, the next obeisance is, I will remain lying on the floor, and then they can bring electrolytes, you know. And then you think, is there any way for me to continue? And the moment, and you think, I thought like this, I'm a fallen soul, I wish to go back, I wish to get devotion and love in my heart, and I will now just meditate how small I am and how absolutely dependent I am on Krishna. And it's interesting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this type of meditation starts your sambandha, your connection. You must just think, I'm so fallen, I'm so small. Now I will do this to please Krishna. I will just not do it any longer for myself. I just do it for Krishna. All of a sudden, you have so much energy. You want to do 8 hours. What's the problem? You can fly. But you have to change the level of your life. You have to get into a spiritual position. Prabhus and Matajis, if you don't do this, you will remain such embarrassing neophytes that you will not be able to glorify the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. People will think these Hare Krishnas are eternally young devotees, you know. Without attachment, you will also not like to finish your 16 rounds. You just don't like it. It's so difficult for you. And you somehow must learn to bring affection, start with some feeling, whatever feeling you are able to bring, a feeling of gratitude, a feeling of smallness, a feeling of, start with some feeling. Don't do your bhajan without any feelings. You will suffer. You look at me, and I look at you. Rangini's eyes ask, is he serious about what he says? Yes, Rangini, I'm very serious. It's very important. And now let us hear how Rupa Goswami is begging with some feeling what he says. It's in this the next verse. He feels, okay, I want to smell the Lord, but this is highly unlikely that I come to this level, because why should the Lord reveal himself to me like that? I must be satisfied to have the darshan from afar. So he prays with this understanding. Let's not ask for too much, you know. Pradeshi nimukka kuhare kuhare vinikshipang janomohur vanabhuvi put karotiyaso prasidatam shanam adipo prasidatam prasidatam, give mercy, so much prasidatam, prasidanam, chanam, small fraction, prasidatam, be pleased with me. Drisho, drisho, puras purato, tadit ganda chavihi. O my master Sri Krishna, O my mistress of Vrindavan Sri Radhika, I'm sitting here in Vrindavan, and I cry out to you again and again, and I weep my forefinger at my mouth. I beseech you, I really beg you, if only for a moment, be pleased with me, prasidatam, and allow my eyes to behold the sweetness of your forms, which appear like a streak of lightning across a fresh thunderbolt in a thundercloud. Now, do you get it? The lightning in a fresh thundercloud is usually seen in the distance. It's very rare that you see the thundercloud and the lightning just above your head. It's very rare. It could mean your death if it happens. So usually we see the lightning in the distance. Only this time when we were in Goloka Dham, once there was a lightning all around. Do you remember? It was beautiful. But usually we see it in the distance. So Rupa Goswami wants to see Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna, who are like a fresh thorn cloud embraced by a streak of lightning. No? He wants to see them. He says, just once. And it's so far, you know. You don't have to be so close that I smell you. You just from the distance I will see you. Right? He sees like this. And see how he's sitting in Vrindavan. I cry out to you again and again. I weep my forefinger at my mouth. So the finger next to the thumb, says Baladev Vidyabhushana, it's this one, has two names. He's the Pradeshinim, that is a pointer, and the Tarjini, that is scolding. Oh, Bhagavati, you have fallen already, almost asleep. Not fully, but half. This scolding, you know. He say like this. So the forefinger has these two functions. So he, in this case, he uses the forefinger as a pradeshini, a pointer. He points in his throat. I think he says, here the translator says, at my mouth, but I read another translation where it says he actually holds the forefinger in the mouth. He points to the throat. My life is ebbing away. Please, before I die. See, the life is no, little life is left. Please show yourself once to me. You can see that the heart of Rupa Goswami is full of raga. Raga is sometimes described as attachment. Raga, if you can, you know, how do we say it? Sanskrit, vitaraga maya krota, free from attachment, fear and anger. Many great souls have attained love for me in the past. Vitaraga, attachment. It has to be free from attachment. So raga bhakti means attached bhakti. And it is a form of bhakti where you are no longer attached to things of the world, but attached to Krishna only. It is described as a thirst, and the result is a deep absorption in the object of your thirst. And Jiva Goswami, he has written about this raga. He says, just like a materialist is attached to the sense objects, the devotee, and is not looking for anything else, the devotee is attached to Krishna. Such a person just can't be pleased by anything material. He says, I place my Lord in my heart, and there I stare at him. That's all I want. I'm reading the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. There's a beautiful passage which I just read a couple of days ago. Now, Gauranga Mahaprabhu has had the Krishna darshan in Kanainatha Shala. It comes back to Nadia. And he tries to teach his pupils, because although he was only 16 years old, he was considered a professor of Sanskrit. And he was so well respected in Navadvipa that he was seen as the topmost professor, especially when he defeated the greatest scholar of the times, Keshava Kashmiri. So he returns back to his school, and the students open their books by saying Hari Hari, and he hears the holy name of Krishna, and it reminds him so much of his darshan in Kanainatha Shala that by the force of this memory he breaks down helplessly. And he begins his, after some time he swoons, but then he gets back and he tries to teach the students, but Really, he only talks about Krishna. And then he asks his students, how was my explanation today? We didn't understand anything, said the students. It seemed you were preaching to us about Krishna, but it was not about grammar. It had nothing to do with the class, you know. Imagine there is an engineer, a professor of engineering. He talks about combustions and so on. But he comes, Sebastian is there, Sebastian is a student of engineering, isn't it? And the professor says, everything which moves only moves because of Krishna. And you know, all these students hear this and say, what? Up till now we heard it's about, combustions. And the same, so Mahaprabhu seemed to talk here, and the students were here, they just went over their head. They couldn't understand. So then Mahaprabhu says, okay, today, it was the first day. After all, when the teacher comes back from a long journey, it's good to speak about God. It's very auspicious. Oh yes, says the students, very auspicious. So let's take a bath. So they take a bath, and then they come to the home of a Brahmana called Ratnagava. Ratnagava reads the Bhagavatam, and he comes to the verse, Baha Pitam Natavara Vapu Kanika Kar, something like this. And Mahaprabhu hears it, and he again breaks down, hopelessly crying, and 100 people cannot hold him. Students, they go to Gangadas, his teacher, and say, something has happened with our professor in Gaya. Gangadas takes Mahaprabhu and says, your father was a scholar, you should also be a scholar and benefit people by giving them knowledge. Okay, says Mahaprabhu, and he really tries the next day. But again, he just preaches about Krishna, he talks about Krishna, his sweetness, his bodily aroma, his flute play, his loving devotees, and so on. And they asked the students, how was it this time? Very good, but we still couldn't understand how this has anything to do with grammar. Mahaprabhu is really, he tries. It's not that he doesn't try. And then he just closes the book and says, what can I do? Whenever I close my eyes, I see the Lord smiling at me. And this is what this verse here says. I place my Lord in my heart, and I just look at his lotus feet, lotus face there. This is the devotee. The face has two parts, one upper part and one lower part. What do you think is more beautiful, the upper part of Krishna or the lower part? And why do you think like this? Our commentator has started the first, probably true to her nature. The lower part is more beautiful. Why? Because Krishna smiles always, and his cheeks are like mirrors who reflect the swinging of the dolphin-shaped earrings. That's more beautiful than even his eye, eyes, if you can imagine, his smile. And when he smiled, his Yasmin-like teeth showed. So this is more beautiful. This is, I read this in Saradashini. And I wanted to share this. So Mahaprabhu sees this all the time. And therefore he just can't talk about anything else. So now, the next verse and the last verse for today is the Lord Chaitanya prays for the darshan of all the 20 toenails of Radha and Krishna together. 10, 5, 5, 5, 5, 20. Would you like to hear this verse? Bajamud madura janavraja valtang soaking up yuvam abhyachate janoyam. Mama nayana chamat kritim karoju chanam apipana nakendu kumudivam. O my master Shri Krishna and my mistress Srimati Radhika, you are the crowning glory of all the residents of Braj Mandala, who are the embodiment of sweetness. Therefore I am praying to you both for a boon. May the radiance of the brilliant moons of your toenails fill my eyes with wonder, even for just a moment. Do you know how Krishna makes the miseries of his associates disappear? By shining the light of his lotus feet toenails on them. When the devotees see Krishna walking with his lotus feet and the light is reflected from his toenails, then all miseries go. You know, the impersonalists meditate on Brahman and try to let them lose their miseries. But the devotees try to meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. And then, in particular, they try to meditate on the light emanating from his toenails. And similarly, Radharani's delivers sheer ecstasy through the light from her jewel like toenails. This light which comes from Radharani's toenails is more dear to Madhava than millions of light. It's somehow a special light which comes, which is so dear to Radha and Krishna. May the radiance of the brilliant moons of your toenails fill my eyes with wonder, even for just a moment. Only this little moment. Krishna sometimes takes the foot of Srimati Radharani and he tries to put an altar decoration. Altar means this red rim around the foot. And his hand and he tries to do that with great excitement, because he sees all the time the light from the lotus toenails of Srimati Radharani, which enter his heart and totally bewilder him. So Krishna becomes just so pleased with Radha, that he is very, very much eager to stay in Radha's proximity or near Radha. Therefore, while he is painting the lotus feet, he thinks, how can I be always close to the lotus feet of my Radha? And then he thinks, well, I'm not different from my name, so why don't I write my name on the lotus feet? So he writes Sya. Radha can feel on her feet. This is an unusual decoration, you know. And she asks one of her maidservants, what is he doing? And the maidservant by eyes tells her what Krishna is doing by just making the eyes of the Radharani. You don't know how to paint properly the feet. Let my maidservant do it. She feels embarrassed. So this toenails have such a potency. While the impersonalists meditate about Brahman, let us happily meditate about the light from the toenails of Radha and Krishna. And we hear when they go through the forest of Vrindavan, this light from the toenails is illuminating everything. This is what I want to say. There's not much to explain. I mean, there's a lot to explain, but the Baladeva Vidyabhushana says the meaning of this verse is clear. So yeah, this is the nectar of the verse. With this said, I want to end and ask you a question. How can the bliss of devotion arise in a heart which desires sense gratification and liberation? It's like a witch who haunts the heart. The desire for sense gratification and liberation is like a witch. Now, as we hear this question, I think we all become hopeless, because we all have the desire for sense gratification. I, for instance, hope that today there will be still some prasad, because I'm so hungry. And this is clearly a desire for sense gratification. And sometimes we feel hopeless when we hear this. But today I read such a wonderful purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, a devotee may sometimes still have desires for sense gratification, but if he has devotion at the same time, then in due course of time, the desires for sense gratification will go. And he gives the example, sometimes a strong warrior may be shot by an arrow, but it doesn't keep him from fighting the battle, and eventually he is successful. A good analogy, isn't it? Sometimes you may suffer some material desires and so on, but as long as you keep your devotion strong, then it is not a problem in the long run. Or he gives the example of a patient who's ill, who may still take who takes medicine, and it's only a question of time when the disease goes, by the power of the medicine. Like I have this wonderful medicine against a cold, and I will also try to drink it today. Dr. Bhagavati made it two times, and it has almost brought the cold away. So if I keep on taking this medicine, it will soon become victorious. So these wine of intense longings, or prayers of Rupa Goswami, for what was it? The fragrance, and then what did Rupa Goswami pray for? Our best of attentive Vaishnavas. Fragrance, darshan, yes, from the which is like a streak of lightning across a fresh thunder cloud, and he wants the boon, the radiance of the toenails. Then will this fill my eyes with wonder, even for just a moment. Having said this much, we will put the book to rest. At Chaitanya Mahaprabhu willing, we will wake the book up tomorrow morning for personal reading and then share it with all of you in the evening. I wish you all the best. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to praise Srila Rupa Goswami and the divine couple who appear in the heart of Rupa Goswami, and don't seem to leave from there.